Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Carry for Animals, number 428 shows this evening and counting, and we're just going to keep going because the animals need us from every angle out there. So we are their voices and we must be heard, everyone. We cannot be silent and look the other way because we don't want the problems to prevail and get worse, because all animals deserve better lives and futures out there, and it's up to all of us to make it happen. And the more of us that come together, the stronger we become, the better we become, and we are strength in numbers. Everyone, that's from Mama Cat. And, you know, we cannot give up. We cannot give in. If we quit or just stop, then we automatically lose for the animals, and we can't do that. We have to see the victories keep coming through and see their lives change for the better out there. Because all of them deserve it, to live in peace and comfortable and treated with dignity and respect. And that is lacking so badly in this world today. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking because there's zero excuses for it. They deserve to live their lives freely and have their rights granted, not violated. You know, free from fear and anxiety and abuse, neglect, cruelty, exploitation. These animals all deserve better, everyone. So please put a little love in your heart and do your part, because it means so much. All of us come together and cross over, multitask, and help each other out. We can see double over and or even triple, quadruple over in support, and the faster the changes. Because that's what I do. I don't stick with one cause. I keep moving around and doing my part, whether it's signing petitions or writing letters, emails, phone calls, because all of our voices really do matter. And the more action takers out there, and a big shout out, and I put it on my timeline on Facebook, to all of the active action takers out there, animal advocates, and all you're doing out there, because you're all needed. Can you imagine a world without animal advocates, child advocates, elder advocates? Because they, you know, all voice us and help us, defense us and innocent. So a big shout out to all of you that's helping out the animals and taking that action, because, you know, we do see the victories come in. They don't happen overnight, but that takes teamwork. It takes super strong teamwork. Strong leaders and supporters equals move forward to the strong victories, and we can do the victory dance. And we can't stop, everyone. But keep it up, and a big shout-out to all you networkers, cross-posters, running 24-7 on all these social media, being relentless and helping save these dogs and cats and horses on death row. And, I mean, give you a big thank you and everything. So please, everyone, help them out and, you know, press that share button. Adopt, don't shop. Spay and neuter your pet. We can be the solution to all these problems if we did that, because millions get put down a year for overcrowding in these shelters. And there's all ages is getting put down, and it's sad and it's heartbreaking. So let's do it. Let's improve this. And we know it's not going to go down to zero, but at least we're trying to get it better in the world for them, because it's not right when they're healthy and adoptable and then they get, you know, put down. Hey, that it's not right to them, because they give them like 3 days or four or whatever many days, and then they get euthanized, and it's not fair to them. So let's be a part of the solutions out there and not the ongoing problems of the seriousness. So please visit your local animal shelter. See what you can do. Foster, you can go and adopt, you know, encourage your family and relatives and your neighbors or coworkers, if they're looking for a pet, to visit to the nearest shelter. Help them out, because, you know, you could volunteer. Check them out. Let's save some lives here, because too many are getting put down. All these cross posters all over Facebook and X, and I see it going through LinkedIn, Pinterest. I mean, it's unbelievable how many pets are getting put through there that is on death row. And some of them get made to safety. Some get adopted, you know, but we'll see them a big, massive amount to get adopted or to, you know, to foster or rescued. That's a positive impact right there. So I'm going to just go over a couple more things here, and we'll get the show started. We've got another great guest that came back tonight, and I'll be telling about her in a few minutes. It's about the wild horses. We've got to be the voices for these wild horses, everyone, because there are several laws and legislation in federal right now that's going to get moving, and it's going to get voted on. So let's see a victory year for the animals 2024, because it means so much. But my name's Debbie Dahmer, a.k.a. Mama Bear, and I do care, because I am on the air. Okay, so this show's coming live to you every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, everyone. I will be taking calls later on in the show. If you want to call in, this number is the same every Thursday. If you want to log it in, you can also call in from Skype, area code 310-982-4270. You'll be in the queue, and press 1 if you want to speak to the guest. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background or conversations, radios, TVs, and you're more than welcome to come on board. This show is coming live from my Resume website, voicescarryforanimals.com. Please visit it. You can subscribe free and help out the animals, get the word out there, you know, pass it along, because the more the people that see it, there's all kind of ways you can take action on there, and it's going great, and I'm going to keep, you know, going strong, because I said let's get stronger and take action more in 2024 for all the animals in need and distress. And also, I got a new a Facebook page that's going to Voices Caring for Animals. Please go by there, press like and follow. There are also many ways you can take action on there for the animals. And also on X, formerly Twitter, I got a new page going just a couple weeks ago, Voices Caring for Animals. And that's at Stand Up, the number 4 Animals. And then, you know, press follow, and I got them going because I'm rocking and roaring, everyone. And I need a lot of super team players to help me out and appreciate it very much. But I'm going to get started here. All these shows are recorded live and archived, and you can go listen and share 24/7. www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. You could follow on there my podcast, and every time it is awesome. There's an upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email and press the listen there, and it leads you right to it. It is awesome. And you can also press voicescaringforanimals.com subscribe, and that'll be the same. Get alerted in your primary email, and it's free. And check it out and tell me what you think. Maybe you can give me some advice or more stuff to put on there, because that just recently been resumed. But I want to get this show started and get it rocking and rolling on the airwaves. But I want to introduce she's back, okay? And it's always great to have guests back on the show, because they're part of the Voices Caring for Animals, you know, Animal Advocates Radio. And the more exposure, the better. But I want to introduce you, Linda Greaves. She's an organizer and horse advocate of the Save Our Wild Horses and Wildlife. How are you this evening, Linda? Welcome back. I love this.
Well, thank you, Debbie, and I'm happy to be back. And like I said, just what you were saying about all these other different species is everybody can find something that they can have passion about. And if we just take 10 minutes of our day to do something outside of ourselves, we could make a difference. And, you know, I know it's hard at times, but we all need to step up and volunteer at a local shelter or, you know, go somewhere and do some kind of charity work once a year or something. It's good for the soul too. You know, it's really important for us to all be doing that. But anyway, I really appreciate everything you're always doing and how you motivate people and keep everything moving in the right direction.
Hey, that's what my goal is, you know, because I can't do it alone. I can't make no changes by myself. I need a super team out there, you know, Linda, and that's what it takes, you know. Press that share button. Get it out there in the newsfeed, on all social media. You know, maybe a couple people will ignore it, and then you got some more that will pay attention and, you know, do something. So we all have to become stronger and see these changes coming faster, because it means so much, you know, to get those changes made. That's what we're all on here for. And then on this platform, we could talk about everything, all these issues, as much as we want to. But if we don't take action, we're just blowing out steam. You know, we're just spinning our wheels. So we don't want that to happen. I want to encourage everyone out there to do something, you know?
Well, I was going to say, and that's a perfect segue into talking about what I'm planning and this year it's going to be the Saving Our Wild Horses and Wildlife Conference, and it's going to be in Reno, Nevada. We've had the last two conferences in D.C., and we had them tied into lobbying and with amazing speakers. And this year we wanted it to go out where Wild Horse Central, which is Reno, Nevada. Nevada has the majority of our wild horses, and so we thought we'd go there. And the conference, we're going to have 2 days of speakers, but the first day of the conference, we're actually going to go to the holding facility where they hold the horses, the rounded up horses, so they can see what that looks like. And we're trying to ask BLM to give us a tour. We'll see how that goes. And then, but from there, we're going to go out to the range, so people can get out onto the range, see the environment, see the horses, hopefully see other wildlife. And we're really hoping there's going to be some babies. You know, everybody loves to see a wild baby. And so we're going to be doing that out there. And then we're going to be carpooling out and then coming back in for the conference for 2 days of amazing speakers. And this year we're changing it up a little bit. While we have these amazing experts that are going to be teaching us so much about from some things like rewilding, we're going to have a panel teaching us how to actually effectively lobby. We're going to be learning about what's going on with the BLM and the Wild Horse and Burro program this year and what the roundups look like, which are heartbreaking, but you have to understand the complexities. So when you talk to people, you can respond to them, and you can understand where things are going and how to make change. And so it's really, really exciting. And so what we're going to do is during the conference, we're going to be drafting recommendations for the Bureau of Land Management that what we would like to see going forward. And then we're going to also take those recommendations to Congress. And at the end of the conference, we're going to go, we're going to invite BLM to come, and if they want to talk on the last, you know, in the last afternoon, and then we're going to present them with our recommendations. You know, we want to be heard by them, so we figure we're going to give them opportunity if they would like to talk to the people that are attending the conference. And then from there, there's a few of us that are going to actually go out to go looking, run away and go look for wild horses down in Tonopah area, Nevada. So it should be a really, really wonderful, very complex event with different layers and stuff like that. But it's, again, trying to get people inspired and giving people an opportunity to actually meet those other people that they've seen, you know, you chat with on Facebook and on different social medias, and you see stuff that people have done and get to go to meet those people that have done so much, like, you know, Laura Lee or Ginger Catherine's. Scott Beckstead, always amazing. And then, like I said, and Ashley Avis is going to hopefully pop in one after for a little while. And so, like I said, there's just all these different people that make up this fabric, and we have to all be a part of it. But we have to do more than sit behind a keyboard. We need to be taking actions. We need to be making those calls. We need to understand the complexities. And we need to inspire people to move forward. I believe that there's going to be a children's campaign coming up from Wild Beauty Foundation, which would be amazing. And I know that right now there's litigation Wild Horse Education is doing that could change things. We need to change the comprehensive animal welfare policy to make it a rule and not just suggestions, because we keep seeing more and more animals hurt and often killed during these roundups. And they say there's some level of expected fatality. But when they're using ropes and they're chasing these horses beyond their endurance, that's not acceptable loss. That's abuse. So we have to really, really work and get that done. And then, you know, we need to save all our lands. And like I said, this year we're incorporating wildlife because, you know, the horses are part of an ecosystem, and these ecosystems are complex things, with, you know, from insects all the way to predators, and everybody deserves to have a place on our ranges instead of special interests like mining and cattle coming in and just decimating everything. So I just think it's really, really important. And another really important part is the lobbying aspect. I was just at the Department of Interior a couple of weeks ago. Some ladies came in, and we did a little bit of protesting and stuff. And then they were talking about doing a lobby day in March. And, you know, and so I was like, you know, and they're teachers, so they're going to come on spring break. But who better to lobby and represent the people than the teachers who are teaching these next generations of humans that are going to be taking the reins of these issues? And that's one of the things with the horses is after this year, there will be more horses, wild horses in holding than on the range. And that's just absolutely heartbreaking. And so many of these roundups are not necessary. They are just meeting a quota at this point. So it's just a really heartbreaking situation when you see the dynamic families that these animals live in, and then to see them exploded for nothing other than somebody's idea of what they think the numbers should be, not based on science. Academy of Science says there's no justification for how they come up with these numbers. So it's just, like I said, so it's just a really, really challenging and very complex issue. But just like with any issue, and this is my passion issue, different people have different passions. I have friends that do dogs. I have friends that do apes. It's just everybody find something, grab a hold of it, and run with it. And if you can make it out to Reno, come out to Reno, meet a bunch of other advocates. Let's go out on the range. Let's go champion these amazing, amazing animals.
Yes, I mean, and if you could give the website out there, Linda, and because I know I got it on the promo and everything, how they can get in contact. There's that event coming up in April on Facebook and everything.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, you press that share, get more horse advocates. I've been sharing this promo all in the, you know, horse groups I'm in and on the pages I admin. And it doesn't take that long because I can sit there and share right from my timeline or my pages. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's fast and convenient. Maybe if I want to add some at the top, you know, to explain the instructions, you know, however you want to help, every effort counts out to everyone. You know, don't ever think it doesn't, because all of our voices and all of our actions really do matter out there. You know, and you could be a part of a change out there, and then you won't stop there, Linda. I always, if I see a victory coming in and it happens, whether I'm a part of it or not, you know, I it makes me feel good to keep going and not stop
yep.
there. Because and that's proof right there. Hey, this victory happened from all of us getting together, you know, teamwork, not just one person it took. So, you know, contact your legislators. It's so important out there. And with this, you know, coming up in April, you know, if you could give out that website and everything, anything, you know, that could help them out. Go ahead.
Okay. The website is SaveOurWildHorsesAndWildlife.org. And it's a simple, I'm trying to keep the website really simple. So it's basically just about the conference at this point. And, it goes over the different speakers. It has the link to tickets and the link to the hotel. And there's a lot of people are going to be room sharing. Like I said, we really wanted to make this a community thing. We're going to be doing carpooling out to the ranges and stuff. So it's going to give people an opportunity to get to meet other people and really engage. And I think sometimes having that support from other advocates actually really helps us move the bar forward. And, but yeah, so, and you know, the Tonopah trip, which is going to be at the end of the conference. It's not really part of the conference. It's an add-on, because if we're all there, we all want to go and find more wild horses, don't we? So, but it's going to be filled up at 22 people, so it's going to fill up very soon. We have about halfway full already, but it would be a great opportunity to go out on the range with experts and learn about the history of wild horse advocacy and see some of the most beautiful parts of the old mining towns and with the burros and the horses and stuff. It's just really super amazing. And then,
That's awesome.
It should be really, really awesome. And we are going to try to live stream Facebook Live, and then also hopefully if I get my YouTube channel up, I'll be doing some YouTube live channels. And we will have a lot of the speakers on the website, the speakers from the previous conferences, recordings are there. And we will be recording several of the speakers this year, and those recordings will also go up online. So even if you can't make the conference in its entirety, you can at least learn from some of these amazing people who come out and donate their efforts and times to speak with us and teach us.
No, that's going. Yeah, keep me posted and everything. You know, keep me informed. I'll help. You know, help promote it around the time. You know, get more action takers out there, because they need them, everyone. You know, the more of us out there, the more attention they get. Even get the, you know, mainstream media out there. That would be awesome, too. You know, let them know that, hey, the horses are very important to us. They deserve better. I wish they would leave them alone. I hate seeing them get chased by helicopters. I hate that. That pushes my butt and makes my blood boil, you know, because it traumatizes them. And then and they're in them kill pens or jumping up all around. These wild horses, they deserve so much better, everyone. And there is these laws and legislation right now, federal, please do your part. I mean, there's the SAFE Act out there, H.R. 3475. And you're probably on here too, Linda, is congress.gov.
Yes.
And when you set up an account and set up for alerts on all these bill numbers, and, you know, keep track of them. If there's any movement or new co-sponsors, call them up. You know, ask
I was going to say, Debbie,
yeah, awesome.
Also on the SAFE Act, there's a Senate version of the bill. in order to get a bill through, we have to have a House version and a Senate version, and they have to go through on both sides. The Senate version is 2037, and that SAFE Act is to stop all horse slaughter. Not this doesn't just have to do with wild horses. It has to do with domestic also. And then also there's two other bills that are really important right now. H.R. 3656 is the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act, and this would stop the helicopters from being able to be used in rounding up wild horses, and it would also require them to do an audit of the program, which I think is super, super important. And the other act that's currently there, and I'm going to spell the word because I always say it wrong, it's EJIAO Act, and it's the act that people take burros and donkeys' hides, they starve them first, and then they take the gelatin from the hides and make products from it. It's horribly abusive. The animals are, you know, really treated poorly beforehand in order to make the gelatin better. And that is H.R. 6021, and that is a fairly new bill, but we need to stop that. And also, if you go on to Amazon, if you put that in the search engine, products will come up, and you should alert the Amazon that we do not want those products there. We do not want to be supporting this abusive process. And we as consumers, we do have some power. We have the ability not to buy from places that are not supporting ethical treatment of animals.
That's right. And then, you know, if they don't hear from us, then they'll think everything's fine. And it's not. You know, we're trying to stop all animal cruelty out there. Let these animals, they need to leave them alone in freedom. Is it that difficult? They need to get lives out there. This profit before animals is terrible, Linda. There's no excuse for it. And it's, you know, I'm seeing it happen all the time. I'm sick of these greed bullies that only think about me, myself, and I and their money, pocket and their money, you know, and it's not thinking how the animals feel. They're not property. They're, you know, living animal beings. We're all on this earth temporarily, including the animals. So we got to make the best of it. You know, this animal cruelty out there is overwhelming everyone, and we have to step up to the plate and do something about it, not let it prevail, because my news feeds on X and Facebook, and I get them from all over the world, but I've never seen so much animal cruelty in my life. I mean, it is, you know, the victories are coming in, and they're not coming in overnight, but we got a lot of work to do. We will reach, you know, this is a long road ahead, and we will reach this destination all in good time if we continue to work together and stand together and speak up against animal cruelty from all angles. Because these animals deserve it. They can't fight for themselves. They can't tell us how they're feeling or make the police reports or, you know, we have to do it for them and say enough is enough. So, you know, whatever, and I'm wishing you the best of the best out here in Nevada coming up in April, Linda. I hope everything goes well. I hope you have, positive results. And because what's going on out there, these wild horses, is sad and heartbreaking. And there's these, I've been passing around these petitions for, it was McCullough Peaks, is it? There and the national park, the which one I can't think right now because there's so many of them that they're wild horses. The national, there's another one. I mean, there's so many that's
Pershing Roundup that just ended, and it's kind of good. I mean, everybody did call in their lot. They did stop about 200 horses short of their number. But that roundup was exceptionally, Wild Horse Education was out there the whole time documenting it, and it was extremely, extremely abusive, and I'm not sure quite what their mentality is. And again, we all have to realize that with the wild horses, because their justification is they say they're invasive, which they're not, and the fact that they're overpopulated, but when they're outnumbered 30 to 1 to cattle, and then there's also sheep out there, you have to sit there and realize that they are really not the problem. And these places where they brought horses in, they've been using horses to rewild in Europe for 35 years, and they've just had tremendous improvements. And there's several other places where they've had, if you look at some of these sanctuaries and stuff, even where they have quite a few horses, it's like you start seeing the land start regenerating itself because they are a mega grazer. They're made to be on the land, and they
right.
eat the grasses and they spread the seeds, and you know their droppings maintain seeds and moisture. So when they get rain, it's just a perfect place for something to grow. I mean, people buy horse manure to put on in their gardens and stuff because it's so nutrient rich. So they're such an important element to our lands. And if you look at what we've done through all our agricultural stuff and through, you know, livestock and animal industry and mining, we've eliminated so many of the big grazing animals that used to be on this continent. We used to have millions and millions of horses and 50 million plus buffalo. And now you go out there and you see a little pronghorn or, you know, see a deer. They used to be, and the land could sustain them because they were made for the land. And, you know, these other animals and these other uses, the land's not being used the way it's supposed to be used. And so it's really, really just heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. I found it, and it's at the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. In Defense of Animals,
yes.
Everyone has got a petition for them, opposed plan to destroy wild horse herd at the Theodore Roosevelt National Park. I do have it located on my Voices Carry for Animals Facebook page. It's located on Voices Carry for Animals Support Group. I got it all over the place. I want to keep, you know, sharing your stuff also, Linda, all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, the more social media I put it on, the better, you know, because that's teamwork.
Yeah.
Teamwork rocks and teamwork wins, right? That's what
I
think.
And the big problem is a lot of people, you know, whether it's just by not ever being exposed or, to, you know, kind of sticking your head in the sand, there are so many animals and so many different, like the horses, there's National Park horses, there's Forest Service horses, there's BLM, Bureau of Land Management horses. They're not really their horses, they're our horses. So every one of those animals you see on public lands, that whether it's a horse being run to death or a mountain lion being caught in a trap, those are our animals that are being abused. And so that's one of the things that just guts me, is the fact that that's my animal and that person's doing that to it. And it's just absolutely horrible. And like for the last 3 years, I've been going out to round up some and helping document it. And if anybody has the opportunity to do it, it is hard to watch, but I think the animals deserve to have somebody bear witness to what they're going through. Because I always think that as bad as it is when we're watching, I wonder what it is what it's like when we're not there. There is nobody watching.
Right. I mean, it's sad. I mean, you look at it and you think that's animal cruelty front lines, and taxpayers are paying for, you know, animal cruelty front lines.
It's to be done.
So we got to raise our voices more, taxpayers, because this is not right. I am against animal cruelty all the way. And it keeps happening year after year, decade after decade. We need some more compassion and dignity and respect in this world for the animals. Because, I mean, I could just imagine, you know, they're running scared, they're terrified, you know, and in the kill pens, they're up, you know, they're nervous wreck. This is so disgusting to even see this kind of stuff and being allowed, okay, and accepted. It cannot be right. BLM has to please change their ways. We need some animal-friendly people in there and not put these animals through this, because it's terrible. And please, everyone, you know, call or email your state representatives, or, you know, if you feel better emailing them, look up on their site, find your representatives and write them an email. Or make that phone call. You can even leave messages after hours, you know, 202-224-3121, and give your zip code and ask to speak to your state representative or senator, and, you know, go in from there. and, you know, be that voice. Be a strong voice, because your voice does matter. Don't be shy. Don't look the other way, because nothing's going to get done. If we do nothing, nothing changes, okay? So,
well, I was going to say, Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie, on top of that, is if you call, and I always tell people to be polite, but if
yes.
you get a chance, a lot of these people, if you're not in the Western states, don't know what's going on. So if we can start educating the staffers and those people in those offices, I always call up and say, hey, I said, you know, I'm Linda Greaves, I'm a constituent. I wanted to talk to somebody about the wild horse issue. Do you know anything about it? And they're like, no. And I'll give them a little synopsis of what's going on. And it doesn't have to just be because you care about animals. I will say, I want our wildlife to be, because I'm focusing mostly on wildlife, I want our wildlife to be managed based on current science. What we're working off of is stuff that was done way back in the cowboy days. We know better now. We know how to do a lot of things better now. And for this one area, for it not to evolve at all since the 60s or 50s is just crazy. You know, it's just, it does not make any sense that we're still trying to do the same thing, even though we have science and we've had multiple reports and experts that come in. And I mean, just there's so much, like the fact that BLM even acknowledges the main cause of range degradation is livestock, but they still target the horses to be removed. And the horses are only on 11% of BLM land, and most of the BLM land is failing health standards. So they're deciding that this little 11% is where they're going to spend millions and millions of dollars to decimate those animals, but they're not addressing all these big issues across the board on 250 million acres of land.
Mm. 250 million acres. Oh, my goodness.
On BLM, yeah.
Whoa. That is...
And horses have had half their land that was designated for them to be federally protected. They've lost almost half the land now. They're only on 25 million acres, whereas you're talking about this big, giant expanse. Horses are just in these little pockets. And they're scapegoated for all the damage, and it's just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. We want freedom for wild horses, everybody, burros, because it's long overdue. They shouldn't be mistreated like that. I look at, you know, the wild Mustangs and everything. You know, they're running free. They've been around for a very long time. And we have to fight harder for them, you know, and get to work and say enough is enough. You know, this taxpayer money going to, you know, fund this animal cruelty, and it's allowed and accepted? No, we have to fight for this. You got to fight for what is right in this world, not just sit there and look away. And I've heard excuses, oh, they're not going to do anything, or it's all about money. You know, we don't want to hear those excuses. How are you going to know unless you don't try, right?
I was going to say, the fact that if nothing's going to happen, and if you do nothing, it's a guarantee nothing's going to happen. So,
that's right.
You know, it's like not even getting out of the bed. And just a really interesting thing, there was some studies recently done that the horses that we have today survived the last ice age. Whether or not they completely went extinct or not is up for debate. A lot of Native Americans say they didn't. But regardless, all horses co-evolved with, like, the big predators, like the saber-toothed cats and all that, in North America. And then over the land bridges, they went all across the world. So any equine on the planet evolved from North America. So when they say, if anything, they're a reintroduced native species, and they serve a really important spot in our ecological system of our lands. So I just wanted to share that too.
Yes, and you know, you're getting a lot of good information out there, Linda, and we got some callers. You want to take some calls right now? Area
sure.
code 703, you are live and on air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals. How are you this evening? You have any comments or questions for Linda? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hi, am I on the line?
Yes, you are. You're live and on air. Thanks for calling in. You have any comments
oh, okay,
or questions?
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to participate. So I actually live in the D.C. area and met Linda at the Save Our Wild Horses Conference last April. And she supported me to meet with my representatives last fall in October and November. And so I just want to encourage people to be emboldened to contact their representatives. It does feel a little bit intimidating at first, and you're not quite sure, you know, how you're going to be received. But it is notable that many of the staffers for our representatives are young. You know, and I don't know about you, but I have like silver hair. And so I've been around for a number of decades. And, you know, I think that my horse experience, my lifetime horse experience, gives me a platform to be able to tell my representatives through their young staffers that this is an issue that is critical for me and that it matters not just to me, but to my horse community. Maryland is a horse state, you know, it's horse country. And I do think that a lot of people who own and love domestic horses also care about at least the iconic nature, the symbolism of wild horses. So I would just say that, you know, anybody who's listening is certainly welcome to reach out to me. My name is Stephanie Milton, and I'm a part of the DC lobby group, and, you know, certainly welcome to reach out to Linda to get support to reach their representatives and feel confident that their position is legitimate, that they have a right to be heard, and that their concerns about wild horses really cannot be silenced.
No, we can't be silent. We have to get out there and let our voice raise and take that action. You know, because if we don't, then we automatically lose. And, you know, these wild horses, they can't stand up for themselves. They're getting so mistreated. And it's inhumane and injustice. There's no excuse for it. You know, I love to see them videos of horses running freely and having fun and socializing with the other wild horses. And I'm sure everybody else does, too. You know, we don't want to see them in distress and, you know, getting traumatized and stressed out. And, oh, it's terrible. I hate those videos of them getting chased. It just makes my blood boil, you know. And how could anybody do it to them? You know, it's so sad. And
it
you
is.
Have to do
it's
something.
It's heartbreaking. Right.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, the more we feel emboldened to speak up, the more we can support each other, the more we can validate that this is, you know, it's not a David and Goliath issue as much as it's an issue of confronting corruption within the federal government. The Bureau of Land Management, as it's being run by Secretary Deb Haaland, is deeply flawed. And there are people who have retired from the BLM, for example, who have written to her directly in an open letter and said, you know, you need to answer these concerns. So her silence is deeply troubling. And I do think that in an election year, our representatives, both in the Senate and in the House, are beholden to us. They must respond to these concerns. And if they don't, I can promise you, you plural, like the society, that we will have congressional hearings at some point in the future with regard to the corruption that is in place in the Bureau of Land Management with regard to the treatment of wild horses and burros. There's just no question. This is a deeply flawed system.
And I wanted to say real quick,
Stephanie's
one of she's one of the teachers that's coming in March to do the lobbying, and I want to, of course, say thank you to all the teachers out there and all the people that work in education, because it is just the most underappreciated field, I think, that there is in this country, because through our children, you know, that's our future, and I think it's so important. So I did want to say this, Stephanie, that I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. You know, I mean, what you're doing, you're being a strong voice out there and very informative and everything, so keep it up. I wouldn't mind having you as a guest on the show, you know. I'd love to have you
well,
on.
Well, I do have one of my students is actually writing an essay about wild horses, I think maybe because she's heard me talk about it in class. So I hope that.
That's
yeah,
awesome,
I hope
though.
That,
yeah, yes.
Some of my students who work on farms and are in, I live in a county that's somewhat rural, and there's still a tie to agriculture. So that's an important avenue through which young people have a say, not just with regard to their relationship with horses, but with also, you know, other farm animals that are sentient beings. You know, they keep cows, they keep goats, they keep chickens. And so even though we're on the East Coast and sometimes we're maligned for being disconnected to Western states, we still have a say in what happens to America's wild horses. We still pay taxes, we still vote, we still have a say in public land.
That's right. And you know, when you start the children out young, just like all of us, when you start them out young to treat all animals with dignity and respect, they move into their adulthood doing the same. I mean, look at us. Look what we're doing. And so when they, you know, learn young, that's a huge plus right there, you know, because they find compassion right then and there, and they love to be around animals and, you know, petting them and, you know, not hitting them or pulling their tails or riding them or anything. But that's, you know, with the children, that's our future generations. We're going to need future advocates, you know, generation after generation. So keep it up,
right,
Stephanie. Yes.
I will. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I would love to have you on the show, okay? I'm booked up until June. That's going to tell you how many issues you've got.
Well,
I know that's
I'm
a huge plus for the animals.
You,
oh, my goodness. And you know, when you stand up for all of them, you get slammed. So I'm booked up till June.
Sure.
But anything time after that, and if you could hook me up, Linda, because I want to have you back on too, you know, probably
sounds
around
good.
In the
yeah,
summertime.
I'd love to give you a post-conference and see where we're at there because, like I
yes.
said, with a new election coming in, we're probably going to be planning a big lobby thing either February or in March of next year so we can hit all these new people that are coming into office and all the new staffers and stuff before they've been kind of, you know, given the Kool-Aid to drink from the big companies and corporations that, you know, do all the fuels and mining and livestock and everything. So if we can get in, even just put that seed in their head that makes them ask better questions when they do come in, it'll help us.
Oh yeah, that's gonna help us a lot. You know, this is important here. Everyone, get out there and vote. You know, and because it's so very important, your vote is your voice. Period. You know, so and even with this federal legislation coming up. With all these bills for the animals, all different ones, you know, contact your representatives and you know, ask them to vote yay, you know,
yep.
on them. So, yep. So yep. Go ahead, Linda. I got another caller.
Okay.
Okay, area code 702. You're live and on the air. Go right in.
Hello, Debbie and Linda. This is Lynn.
Hello. How are you?
I'm Debbie's
Hello.
Facebook friend. I'm well. Listen. Thank you so much, Linda, though. And, you mentioned something about they made gelatin out of, I didn't hear clearly because I was tending to my dog, but they're making gelatin from what again? If you could repeat that, please.
They take the hides of the burros and donkeys and they scrape the inside of the hide after they've taken it off the animal.
Oh,
and so that's the only part they care about. And it's just the gelatin that's between basically under the hide. And I don't know as much about that as some others do, But I know that they say by starving a mandor, like make him dehydrated, it makes it easier to harvest. So the animals are horribly abused prior to being killed so they can do this process. And like I said, you know, if anybody's ever been around a donkey or a burro, they're basically the same thing. But and they are more like a dog. They are not a horse. They are very different than a horse. They react differently than a horse. They're super, super smart, and they get super bonded with their people. They're really good protection animals. If you have farm animals, you know, hobby farms and stuff, a lot of times they'll bring in a burro to protect the animals because they're so – I mean, they will – if anything tries to hurt anything they care about, they will attack. And but like I said, they're they're stubborn. Everybody's heard, you know, you can't – you know, you see the person dragging, trying to drag a burro. It's got to be their idea, and they're just a super unique animal. And, same, you know, and just the fact that that happens to them is just – any animal. But it's just, you know, sometimes when you finally find out, it's like – you know, sometimes I wonder, how do people find these horrible things to do to animals to get something that's supposedly like some kind of magic lotion or something like that's going to make you look prettier or younger? Just ridiculous. I mean, it's heartbreaking because, you know, if you've ever been around them, they are real characters. They're like a cross. They're kind of like a stubborn dog. But they're very devoted to the
stubborn,
people.
So I could relate to that. But that's why I'd be vegan. You know, vegan. I'm a vegan, and for almost 9 years. Thank you so much on speaking out, because I didn't realize gelatin from olives was made by animal bones. So a bioactivist is made from animal bones, but I wasn't aware it was that bad to where they would put the burrow. So it's that severe.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a special type of gelatin, and a lot of other things have animal gelatin in it. If you look at ingredients, it's really, really heartbreaking that, you know, there's a lot of candies and stuff that have gelatin in it, and people are not aware of it. It's inexpensive. You know, animal products quite often there's inexpensive ways to make filler and stuff like that in different products. And our country is actually unique, and we have some of the least healthy food in the world. We have so much junk in our foods. You know, if you're a vegan, you're probably very well aware of that. You go and look in other countries, this exact same product, like Heinz ketchup. And here we use red dye. Over there, they would use beets to color. It's just the whole process is what's in the foods is just so different. And, you know, we just turn a blind eye for convenience. And, you know, it makes us, you know, it gives you a 5-minute moment of happiness to do whatever you're doing, I guess, because it just kind of, it's heartbreaking. Animals should not suffer for us.
GMO in the foods besides animal products being used. And even in our skin creams, there's gelatin. And collagen they use. That's also another form of animal protein they use. They call it collagen. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Well, no, and the whole thing is the GMO, they make it where insects don't want to eat the food. If animals won't eat the food, we should not be putting it in our bodies. You know, if you can leave something on the outside and the flies won't go on it and the ants won't go on it, a lot of our food you can do that with and animals won't touch it. And so it's like, we're eating non-food products. So, so that's really, really important. So, but thank you for calling in, and I hope that helped you with that. Just so you know, that bill that I was talking about is H.R. 6021, and it just got reintroduced. It probably won't go anywhere this round because at the end of the year, all these bills will be going dead, and we will be starting over again. And that's why starting next year, whatever doesn't pass, we got to jump on and get it introduced early, 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 so we can have as much time as possible to get it all the way through.
Yes. And I've seen the SAFE Act there, Linda, and it's got a lot of co-sponsors, you know.
Yeah, we have over 50% in the House.
Yes. And I have the one that needs it more co-sponsors is the Wild Horse and Burro Protection Act, everyone, because last time I seen it just had 19 co-sponsors. So if you can please call your representative or email them, ask them to co-sponsor it. Yeah, 19.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no reason. I know some people won't support it because it's not everything they want. Everybody also needs to realize that you have to write – that bill was written really simple with basically a couple of asks because they wanted it to be able to go through. Because everything you bring up, when it goes between the House and the Senate or somebody – that's a reason for somebody to object to it. So that she was trying to make it really nice. And Dina Titus is the author of that bill. And if you make it simple, it might not be everything, but if it saves, we'll say it just saves 1,000 horses a year. In my opinion, it's a win. I mean, ultimately, I want it completely stopped. But if we could save that those thousand horses from being killed by helicopter roundups, and the other thing is when they talk numbers, this is just one real quick thing. When they talk numbers, they talk during the roundup, like right when it happens. The animals that were run, so they have heat exhaustion or they're dealing with heat stroke, that die the next 2 days or the day after or a month after, those horses are not counted in the deaths for roundups, but they are directly related to having been rounded up. So when you hear those numbers and they say, oh, it's only this much or that much, I'm like, no, it's a lot higher than that. And, you know, babies get left out on the range, so those babies – you know, they die. Horrible death. But anyway, like I said,
terrible. Mm.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And so, but like I said, you know, 10 years ago, almost nobody knew about it. We're making some traction. We're making some, there are some movements before the bills would not get anywhere. So we just have to keep pushing. We need to keep bringing more people on. And I will tell, the last thing I'll say is we all need to take care of ourselves. If you need to step away for a little while because it's hard on your soul, take care of yourself because this is a war. It's not a battle. We're in it for the long run. And we all have the right to take care of ourselves so we can stay fighting.
That's right. Take that break because, you know, it's never easy. You know, what we're animal advocates are faced with, you know, that we got to come up and see front lines or just, you know, the horrific news or the videos or the photos and know what's going on out there, the truth and reality behind closed doors, you know, and it gets to be disgusting. You know, I stay strong. I'm a hard cookie to crumble, but it's tough on me sometimes. I mean, I get tears in my eyes how some of these animals are being treated. And it's sad. You know, you can't fight back the tears when you're feeling their pain or, you know, stepping in their shoes or their paws or whatever. So it's never easy on us. You know, we have to keep going. We have to keep up the good fight and never get up, everyone, because these animals are so well worth it. Right, Linda? And I'm looking forward to having you back on. And I'm down to a couple minutes here. Everyone, I want to thank everyone, all you new listeners that's listening tonight. Keep spreading the word. All you, you know, all the former listeners that keeps, you know, give me all your support. Thank you so much. And a big shout out to everyone that's helping me to promote this show every Thursday, from X to Facebook followers and friends that's involved, to, you know, LinkedIn. Thank you all, fans of animal rights. I mean, this list is huge out there, and without all of you, hey, this show wouldn't be a total success. It's not because of me. It's because of bringing everybody, you know, trying to recruit you to take that action, because that's the main thing. I can't make no changes. But anyway, Linda, thank you so much. Thank you. Keep up the hard work.
Thank you for having me back on, and like I said, we'll keep fighting this good fight.
Oh, yes, and thank you, and I wanted to give a shout-out to Stephanie who called in. Milton, thank you for calling in. You know, that was great. That was very informative. And Harold, my Facebook friend, thank you for all your support. I mean, you're part of the Voices Care for Animals, too, and it's so meaningful.
Yes.
Cause, you know, you're out there multitasking for the animals, and a big shout-out to Mama Cat. She's going to be on next week, Ray Bittner. She takes care of over 100 colony cats out there. So, and she's awesome. She multitasks also to jump over and help other causes, which means so much, you know. But anyway, she's going to be on next week, everyone. 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide by phone, 310-982-4270. Press 1, and you'll be able to speak or listen by the Internet. But thank you, everyone, and have a great evening and a peaceful one. And keep up, you know, all you animal advocates out there, keep rocking. The animals world, all of us together will make huge differences, and then we'll all be doing the happy dance when we see the victories come in. But thank you, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. Paw in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Thank you so much, everyone. Good night, Linda. Good night, Harolyn and Stephanie.
Good night,
and everyone.
Good night, Debbie.
Thank
good
you.
Night, Linda.
May God bless you all. Join us next week. Thank you, everyone.